attached to planet Jove. Please enter the pod and fasten the brain safety belt. This planet is intended for mature humans only. If you are the sapient type that gets offended easily, please exit the pod immediately. Enjoy your visit on planet Jove Pod. Launching now.
Welcome, Earthlings. Welcome to PJP. How are you doing? So how was your week? It's been a week, 7 days, podcast number 4. Here I is. Hope you're doing all right. I'm doing all right. I had a pretty good week. Still a bit stressful. Meetings with my attorney with the whole trial mess. I also kept myself busy designing t-shirts. That's something that's a good escape for me. Anything creative, anything that I can create art, it's a good escape for me. So I kept myself busy with that. If you want to check out those designs, go to planetjoedesign.com. Check them out. Tell me what you think. But yeah, that kept me busy outside of the meetings with my attorney and all that. And the weekend was, I had a wonderful weekend, actually. I was with my son for 3 days, Thursday through Saturday. We had a blast. I had a great time with him. He's almost 7, that little angel. Thursday, Friday, we just hung out at home. And Saturday, we're at the pool all day. Yeah, he's my happy pill, that's for sure. I just love that little kid. Crazy about him. Nuts about him. And the funny thing is that all my life I wasn't crazy about kids, and I actually still am not crazy about kids. But, you know, once it's your own, it's a whole different ball game. And my heart goes out to him because his mother is trying to influence him, turn him against me. It doesn't matter how many times I told her that she's actually hurting him by doing that. So he's confused when it comes to that. It's sad to say, but I've never heard him say, I love you, I missed you. Never spoken with him on the phone because of the, I want to say because of the battle that we're going through, but it's not just that. She has a bipolar personality disorder. She's not a mean person. She's just, I don't know if it's right to say mental. She's not right in the head, as they say. Let me share with you the story behind this whole mess that I'm in. But, you know, outside of that mess, I have a wonderful, amazing, beautiful prince that I'm crazy about. Let me tell you the background of the whole story. Once upon a time, no, I'm kidding. When I was approaching 18 years of age, me and my childhood buddy, Kyle Holly, were talking about joining the Army, the Marines. I was convinced, I don't want to say manipulated, but I was convinced to actually come to Israel and join the IDF volunteer instead of the Marines. And I did that. This was 1989, came back to Israel, joined the Army. Before the Army, I was a DJ. It was pretty, a working DJ, not just an amateur. So after the Army, electronic music started exploding in Israel and I'm sure worldwide. Right after the Army, I started spinning, you know, in raves, nature parties, outdoor parties or whatnot. And not long after I was released from the Army, I went to Thailand. The plan was to do a 6 months vacation, me and my friend Avi, to Thailand. And then India, Goa. Took the music with us and off we went. We got to Thailand, one of the party islands there, Koh Phangan, I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And I got an amazing gig there. I became a resident DJ on a beach, Coconut Beach. And I got free board and food. Got a free bungalow and food just to be the resident DJ. So I ended up staying there for 6 months and got off the idea of going to India. So just stay there for 6 months. After that, I came back to Israel and I got tons of work as a DJ at parties, at raves and whatnot. And I remember at the time we had nowhere to go for our after parties. Electronic music at the time was very underground. And it was associated with, you know, drugs and drug dealing and whatnot for a good reason. So when it came to bars and clubs and whatnot, they just stayed away from electronic music because of the baggage that came with it. And I came up with the idea of opening a bar with electronic music because thousands of kids at the time had nowhere to go on weekdays or after parties. So I borrowed money from my father and I opened Planet Joe, the bar. By the way, Planet Joe was my DJ name too. So I opened the bar. It was a huge success. And around that time, that's when I met the mother of my child. I'm not going to say her name for privacy reasons. But yeah, the first time I saw her, I freaking flipped. One of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. She was also a very famous model at the time in Israel and Europe. So I met her. Make a long story short, we got together. We were together for, I don't know, a year and a half or something like that. And that's, I'm being generous by saying a year and a half. We broke up like every other day. She had the signs of bipolar personality disorder at the time. It wasn't as bad as it is today. Plus, I had no clue that such a thing existed. And many of my friends, and myself included, thought, you want to date a model, you got to deal with the cray-cray that comes with it. And I was head over heels in lust with her. Sex was beyond amazing. I remember when I met her, she was pretty open about her sexuality. She was very promiscuous. She told me stories about her orgies and sex parties and in Europe and all these model homes that their agents put them and the parties and all that. And me being a sexual creature from an early age, I admired it. I really did. I always saw a woman that, you know, owns her promiscuity as a hero. For me, slut is a term of endearment, literally. I really mean it. And I connected right away just because of that, because of her beauty and sexuality. And she was freaking amazing at the time. We'd fuck like bunnies for hours on end every day. And I mentioned this before, I'm gonna say it again. She would put any porn star in a shame. But anyways, yeah, we were together for about a year and a half, off and on, off and on. She did drive me crazy. Had no clue that it's a BPD, bipolar personality disorder. And again, she was young. I think she was like 19, 20. I was 21, 22, something like that. So her BPD wasn't as bad as it is today. Like I mentioned before, if you heard the previous podcasts, that I had first lesson at an early age of money doesn't make you happy. As successful as the bar was, I really wasn't happy in Israel. I just wanted to go back home. Did my thing with the army, even though I have a successful bar, a model girlfriend. I wasn't happy and I just wanted to go back home. So I left everything and got on a plane, got back home, chased my acting / filmmaking dream. And when I got to LA, started working there as a DJ in nightclubs in Hollywood. And I'm going to fast forward a few years after, a few years, probably like 15, 16 years after. Me and my ex still here and there kept in touch, like every year, every 2 years, like just hi or whatever. And this is pre-emails and WhatsApp. So it's either phone calls or actual letters. But anyways, comes 2011. You heard my previous podcasts. It was the peak of my life, I think, when it comes to happiness and a police officer, a stable career, beautiful home. I was settled, non-smoker, ripped body. Like everything was in place. And at that time, I was so high on life that I started thinking of having kids, a family. And when I did think of starting a family, I never thought of a monogamous relationship because I knew it's not something that I'm comfortable with. But knowing myself, I'm very dynamic and very fluid and I can adjust and I can be open to that possibility. I always believe that as humans, we are very adaptable and we adapt to almost anything. So summer 2011, I came to Israel for a vacation to be with the family and reconnected with my ex after so many years. Came to Israel for a month and like I said, we reconnected. Fireworks. It was like in the movies, like we didn't move from each other. After 3 weeks of being in Israel, I made the stupid move and proposed and offered her to come with me to the States and start a family and start a life together. And I remember she told me at the time that she's going through therapy because of her previous relationship, that the guy that she was with he was violent and beat her up and whatever. And that's why she's kind of like out of it. She doesn't get out of the house and she's going through treatment and therapy and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, everything will be fine. Now I know that she hid from me the fact that she has a full-blown borderline personality disorder, but she hid it from me and made up a story that it's because of her previous relationship or whatever. Anyways, she got on a plane with me, came back to the States within, I don't know, two, 3 weeks, I noticed something's off. The way she behaved, the way she treated me. Very, very, very narcissistic. Like, she always talked down to me. She was demanding. She was off in a way that I can't describe. And one of the things that I regret is not writing a diary at the time, because I probably forgot most of the shit that she did. But then again, who thought of a diary at the time? It took me a while to realize how fucked up I am. I dragged and tried. Because not only me, also family and friends felt that, you know, you brought a person from a different country. It takes time to adjust, and maybe that's why she's behaving that way. So I always found excuses to say that this is probably normal, the way she behaves, because of what she's going through. Different country, different place, different environment. Maybe that's the reason behind her behavior. Got married. I think not long after we got married, it got to a point where I was like, oh, this is not working out. We started talking about her going back. And right there and then, when we started talking about that, she got pregnant. So I gave more effort to try and make it work out. I didn't know what's the cause of this whole behavior. I had no clue what I got myself into. I just dealt with it day in, day out, and suffered like a motherfucker. It was a living hell. Like, she fucking made my life a living hell. So I remember at one point I started Googling, you know, my girlfriend does this, my wife behaves like that. And every time I described what I'm going through, I got to NPD, Narcissistic Personality Disorder. If it's NPD forums or NPD articles, and those resources described her to the T. So for me, that's what it is. She's NPD. She's a narcissistic. She has a narcissistic personality disorder. And we tried. I took her to marriage counseling. I went to see a therapist to see how to deal with it. Like, I tried like everything and anything. And I went to a therapist who specializes in NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. And the way she described my wife at the time, the way she described her, I'll never forget this. She said, it's like having a handicapped person at home with no legs on a wheelchair, and you're expecting that person to run. There's no cure for it. There's no pill for it. There's no treatment for it. That's how it is. It's a type of handicap. It's a mental handicap. And she told me the only way that she can help me is basically how to readjust myself to cope with her behavior. And she gave a good example, like with the handicapped person with no legs on a wheelchair. She described it like, I can only tell you how to build ramps and handicap access at your home, but there's no way around it. She'll always behave like that. That's who she is. Anyways, it got to a point where I couldn't take it anymore. I told her she needs to get the fuck out, like yesterday. She didn't want to break up the marriage and everything. So the decision was pretty much one-sided. It was for me. And when she got back to Israel with my boy, with the baby at the time, she went on revenge mode. And she wouldn't let my family see my son. They were here in Israel at the time. And she wouldn't let me see even one picture of him. She went on full-blown revenge mode. And then November 2014, my mom passed. A few months after that, my sister was hospitalized, and that's when I packed up and came to Israel. But I packed up because I knew I was going to get stuck here for a long time. Plus, the plan was to be by my sister's side for her recovery or whatnot. So I thought I was going to be here for a long time. And I got here, and, you know, the battle started with her. 2 months after I got here, my sister passed, unfortunately. And that's it. Now I'm here for 4 years. And since I got here, she's trying to incite my boy against me. And that pure little angel is confused. You know, he sees a different dad from what he hears at home from his mom. It took me a long time to build rapport with him. I mean, to this day, like I said, he never says, I love you or anything or like that. But I feel, you know, when I got here, he was 3 years old. Now he's close to seven. So I feel that, you know, during those 4 years, I built a rapport with him. And he's growing up, too. So I feel that he's beginning to understand, like, what's going on. But yeah, it's sad. But it's not something that she can understand. As much as I try to explain to her that it's harming the child when she tells him bad things about his father. But yeah, her personality disorder, she does not understand the consequences of her behavior towards him. So anyways, where I'm at today, waiting for a trial, so I'll be able to leave and go back home. The hardest part is to leave him behind. It's really hard, but unfortunately, I hate this place more than I love my son. I have hate for this place. I don't belong here.
And I'm hoping, you know, once a year he's going to come see me over there for a month. And I'll come here once a year to visit him. So I'll see him twice a year. And hopefully as he gets older, maybe, you know, one day he'll decide he wants to go to college in the States or whatnot. He's an American citizen. That's my hope. But why do I hate it here so much? You might be asking. Why do I hate it here so much? It's funny, every time I came here on a vacation, it was wonderful. But then again, a vacation anywhere, even in third world countries, it's wonderful. It's different living in a place that you don't belong. Or worse, being stuck in a place and not being able to leave. But I never liked it here. I tried a couple times to move back and live here, and it was impossible for me. So why do I hate it? This is going to be offensive to Israelis, and it might even sound racist, but I'm not racist, that's for sure. But I don't know, if you talk shit about a group of people, does that make you racist? I know the answer is no, because I'm far from racist. I'm the most accepting and loving human being. I'll give that credit to myself, because it's true. But Israelis are the rudest human beings that I know of. They can be the meanest, and they're the most selfish human beings. Israelis are all about me, 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 and my family. They will stab each other in the back. They constantly fuck each other over. They constantly fight with each other. If it's out in the streets, if you're standing in line to go see a movie, if it's at a bank, it's just constant chaos. They don't give a rat's ass about anyone else but themselves. And they have this tendency of always standing in a pathway or in a doorway. And if you're trying to go across, they won't move. And if you'll say, excuse me, they'll move a fucking millimeter, ignoring you. They have no clue what service or courtesy is. Non-existent in this country. Anywhere you go. If it's restaurants, public places, anywhere you go, no such thing as courtesy. The roads and the streets are all broken. Buildings are falling apart. Everywhere you go, there are dumpsters outside on the sidewalk. Smells like garbage. And if not that, then it smells like sewage. There's a sewage leaking somewhere. Everywhere you go. It's dirty. There's crap everywhere. And oh, lordy lord, if you need a fucking public service, DMV, to take care of your car or something, or social security, banks. Oh man, it's a battlefield. If you need to run errands in this place, it's fucking hell. The bureaucracy here is made to fuck their citizens over. It's like smart people sat down and try to figure out how can we make our citizens' lives harder. The system here is built to fuck people over. Honestly, this might sound maybe science fiction-y, but I can't remember when was the last time I heard thank you or good morning or excuse me. It's non-existent. Also, Israelis are very, very racist. They treat each other like shit, but they treat minorities and different people with different races even worse.
When you sit at a fast food restaurant like McDonald's or Burger King, 90% of the people there never, ever pick up the trays after them, which fucking drives me nuts. It's so fucking dirty. People fucking eat and leave. They have this constant expectation that they should be served. They're owed. When you're walking in a crowded area, if it's a mall or a sidewalk, Israelis can't fucking walk. They always bump into you, elbowing you, stepping on you. They never look around. They are loud as fuck. If it's talking on their cell phones, if it's on the bus or in public places, if they talk with each other, they're loud. Just loud and vulgar. Or when you're about to step into an elevator, they never yield to the people that are supposed to come out, right? I think that's like a universal law, right? The elevator opens, you wait for the people to come out, and then you walk in. No, Israelis, they fucking headbutt with the ones that walk out. They don't have patience. They won't wait a second for everyone to walk out of the elevator so they can walk the fuck in. Or how about this? This might be minor, but it drives me off the wall sometimes. Every time I purchase something at a store or at a supermarket, whatever, and I hand out money, they never, ever give the change in your hand. Even if you reach out the palm of your hand, the change will be on the fucking desk. City sprinklers? I ride my bike to work. I go through parks and such. The fucking sprinklers, they never water the grass. They always point on the fucking sidewalk, creating puddles and shit. There are gazillions of stray cats everywhere, all over the place. Streetlights are the most inefficient technology ever. I think even in third world countries, they have more efficient streetlights. So many times you're standing at an intersection, everybody's standing, cars, pedestrians, for 10 minutes. Insanity. Neighbors, oh my goodness. Your neighbors don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a rat's ass about you. If it's loud music, they feel like singing. If they fight with each other and yell constantly, there's always noise coming out of the fucking windows. And they're dirty. They throw shit off outside the window. Like, why would you throw shit outside the window? Don't you have a garbage can in your house? Laundry. Holy shit. Dirty laundry. Well, it's clean, but still, fucking laundry. They hang it on the ropes, you know, like 200 years ago. Everywhere you go, the front or the back or the sides of the buildings are covered with laundry hanging outside. If you go to public offices like DMV or banks or whatever, to this day, they still hang signs with Sharpies, with markers. Signs duct taped with markers and Sharpies. Fucking 2019, they use Sharpies. If I walk in and out of a mall, for example, and I hold the door open for people, 20 people can walk through that door. Not one of them will ever say thank you. Everything is fucking broken in this country. Infrastructure, system, bureaucracy, the way they treat each other, fucking everything. Let me give you an example. I mentioned this before. I work as an English teacher at a private school in a mall. In the school, there is a computer room with about 50 computers, 50 PCs. I would say about 50% of them don't fucking work. And the other 50% are slow as fuck. I think they purchased them in the 70s. They charge their students an arm and a leg. And the equipment is a disgrace. Now, here's the thing when I'm like shocked how desensitized Israelis are to getting fucked in the ass. When new students come in, they have to do an assessment test. We have to check their English level. So many times a new student comes in for the assessment test. He or she sits on the computer and the computer is not working. So we're asking him very nicely that they're going to have to change a computer. They go to another computer, there's no sound. We're asking him nicely, okay, so you're going to have to move to a different computer. Third computer, it's slow as fuck. Sometimes they have to move to a fourth computer. And it boggles my mind. If this person is like interested in coming to this school and he's about to pay a lot of money to be in this school, they're so used to everything around them in this country being broken. They don't even realize like, why the fuck should I pay money to be here if I haven't even started yet? And I have to switch between four computers and I haven't even signed up for membership. But that's how it is. It's not only there. It's everywhere you go. Everything is fucking broken and not working. And you have to go and come back or change something, or nothing is ever smooth. But they're so fucking used to it. It's just mind-boggling. Before I was an English teacher, I was a banquet manager at a 5-star hotel, major hotel in Tel Aviv. I'm not going to mention any names, I know, just to avoid lawsuits. But this 5-star hotel, I wouldn't give it a half a star. Being in a management position and seeing the shit that people pay for and the shit that they have to put up with, and it's normal for them. And on the other hand, if it's Israelis that are staying at that hotel, they trash the fucking place. They throw shit on the floor. They smoke where they're not supposed to smoke. They always yell and argue and want free things. It's just constant havoc. I just can't fucking stand it. Being raised in the States where it's quite the opposite, where service is paramount, where being nice is an everyday thing. It's in the culture. But yeah, that's just a short list. And I'm not bullshitting you. This is just a short list of why I hate it here. I don't want to sound like a grumpy old man and go on for a fucking hour talking about all this bullshit. But that's that.
That's where it's at. As of now, I'm here, stuck, hoping I'll have the trial soon, a couple months, hopefully. Oh, and that's another thing. Every other day, everything is fucking closed here. They have, like, holidays every other week. On Sabbath, everything is closed on Sabbath. Friday evening, sunsets, everything closed until Saturday evening, until sunset Saturday evening. And I remember this when my sister was in the hospital. This boggled my mind. Like, on Sabbath, from 50 doctors, it went down to one doctor because it's Sabbath. A fucking hospital. The whole staff went down like 90% in a fucking hospital, excluding ER maybe. Still. Stores, everything's closed. No public transportation. Religious laws, that's what it is. And so many people suffer from that there's no public transportation on the weekends. Daily life here is a battlefield. That's why 90% of the time I tend to stay at home, unless I'm going to work or to pick up my son. I just get angry and frustrated when I'm outside. I was going to say it's like a zoo outside, but a zoo is not as bad. But it is what it is, my peeps. I'm here for now. Hopefully by the end of the year, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. Anyways, that was a rant pod. But that's that. I think I'm going to wrap it up, my peeps. Come join me and share your comments and your thoughts on Facebook, Planet Joe Pod. Instagram, Planet Joe Pod. Twitter, Planet Joe Pod. All of my social media, Planet Joe Pod. I also opened a Patreon page, patreon.com/planetjoepod. If you feel like helping out and supporting, any and all pennies are greatly appreciated. And next week, I was supposed to have my buddy Adam Cartier here as a first guest on PJP. I ordered the mics because I still have one mic. But unfortunately, they will arrive in 2 weeks, and I was counting on a 1 week, 10-day delivery. That's not the case. So I'll be getting those mics in 2 weeks, and then we'll launch Adam Cartier to PJP. Also, August 3rd to August 8th, my friend Lydia is coming from the U.S. To visit. She's going to be here for a week. So on August 4th, is it the Saturday or 5th? I won't be recording a podcast. I'll skip a week since I'm going to be spending the time with my friend. I'll be showing her around Jerusalem, Dead Sea, and all that touristy stuff. But still, I'll be here next week. I hope you will too. Hope this rant pod wasn't too boring, but it is what it is. I'm still working on my podcasting muscles, if you will. So stick around. Come visit once a week. It will get better, I promise. Anyways, my lovelies, again, thank you for showing up. Thank you for sticking around all the way to the end. You rock. I appreciate you. And don't forget, Planet Joe Pod on all social media. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, and Planet Joe Design. Check out my t-shirts. And also there are PJP merch if you're interested. Alright guys, get back in the pod. Go back to your planet. And I'll see you here next week. Take care. Love you. Bye-bye.